Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to lesson 21, which I've titled The Resurrection of Jesus. What a blessing. What a wonderful time that we had in our previous lesson as we looked at the story of the cross. We are now moving on to this part of the exposition where we see Jesus resurrecting from the dead. What a powerful, powerful portion and chapter that is recorded by Apostle John. So I'm going to do an overview of chapter 20 from verse 1 to verse 30. Then I'll look at the key revelation and key scripture, which is John 20 and verse 29. I'll conclude as usual with five lessons that we draw out of this chapter that I believe will be empowering and practical lessons that will equip you. So let's get our Bibles, notebooks, let us get ready to flow together in the Word of God. Now we see here on the backdrop of the crucifixion of Jesus, where he gave up his spirit to the Father, and he is buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It almost seems like an anticlimax. The one that they believed to be the Messiah, the one they believed to be the Son of God, now has been crucified, which was a shameful death because he carried our shame, and he has been buried, and it looks like that's the end. And the disciples are in despair. They are hiding and they are afraid there. If you read the account of Luke, the two men going to Emmaus were letting out their frustrations to Jesus, not knowing that he was Jesus, saying, we had hoped that he was the one, he was the Messiah, but he's dead. So it almost looks like they'd reached the end of the road in terms of what they were expecting and believing for. Because you see, when Jesus died, he was still young in the flesh. He was around 33 years of age. So he was a young man. So many who believed in him are disappointed. And from verse 1 to verse 10, we see Mary Magdalene. While all the other disciples are still asleep, she rises early. The Bible says on the first day of the week. That is when she rises up. And she goes to the tomb because they had seen where Jesus had been buried, to go and look for the body of Jesus. She is not going there because she believes he is alive. No, she's just going, the love she had for Jesus, she's just going to the tomb just to make sure the body is okay. So she goes there, and when she gets there, she finds that the tomb is empty. The stone has been taken away. And she runs back, and she came back with Simon Peter and John, whom Jesus loved. And she tells them that they have taken away the Lord. She is in a panic. He has been removed. His body is not there where he had been laid. So Peter and John went forth, running to the grave to also go and see. So they run together. Peter gets there first. He stands by the door. He doesn't enter. John runs there and gets there first, but stands by the door. Then Peter comes after, and when he arrives, he enters in the tomb. John also then enters. When they get in, they see the linen clothes that he had been wrapped with, but he is not there. They are properly folded and they are gone. So they are shocked. What has happened? So they leave now. They believe what Mary has said, that Jesus' body is not there. And verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. So you see, even though Jesus had preached to them and told them the Son of Man, like a mustard seed, he should fall to the ground. Thereafter, the seed will come, for they did not understand it. He preached to them, he taught them, but they had no understanding. So you see that no matter how many times you are taught, unless there is revelation, unless your eyes, your understanding is opened, you will never understand what you are reading. That is why when Philip meets the eunuch, he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? And he did not understand. He says, how can I understand unless there is an interpreter, someone who interprets the scriptures? Is the prophet talking about himself or talking about someone else? He was reading from Isaiah. And from that scripture, Philip began to preach Christ to him. He interpreted, but the interpretation is the Holy Spirit, because Philip was speaking as he was inspired of the Holy Spirit. So it's very important here. You see the disciples, they come, they don't find the body of Christ. They are in despair. They do not understand the scriptures and what Jesus had taught them. They say, now he's dead and we cannot also see his body. And this is the end of it. From verse 11 to verse 18, we see the encounter of Mary with Jesus. Jesus encounters Mary. So when John and Peter see that the body has been taken, they go back to the house where they were, and they go to report to other disciples. And the word spreads among the disciples, because when you read the account of Luke, you hear the men of Emmaus saying, some of our disciples have said that they went to the grave, the women who went to the grave did not find the body of Christ. So the story had moved among the disciples, but Mary remained. Hey, while Peter and John go back, Mary remained. You remember Mary was also there at the cross. She's the first one to come early to the tomb. She remains there and she's weeping as she looked in. Then she sees two angels sitting there. One at the head where Jesus' head was, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus was. And they say to a woman in verse 8, why weepest thou? Why are you weeping? And she says, because they've taken my Lord and I don't know where they have laid him. Hey, she's concerned. Right. Then she, that said, she turned herself. So Jesus then appears. And Jesus was standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. In verse 15, Jesus then said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? So Jesus says, why are you weeping and who are you seeking? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, say, if thou have borne him, or that means if you have taken him, tell me where you have laid him, I will take him away. Mary is looking for the body of Christ. Jesus says, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? She cannot recognize him. She's actually now beginning to accuse Jesus of taking his own body and saying, if you are the one, she thought he was a gardener. See, revelation is key. When you don't have revelation, you will miss your visitation. Here is Jesus. He has come and he has manifested. She is seeking for him, but she does not recognize him when he appears. May God open your eyes. May God give you the spirit of revelation. Then in verse 16, Jesus then said unto her, Mary, when she hears him call, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which means master. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see something powerful there. Jesus, from this, shows he hadn't intended to pass through his grave. Because here, after his burial, when you study the scriptures, Jesus went to hell, to Hades. Because at that time, when people died, there were two portions. There was the Hades, the prison for unrighteous people, and there was paradise, which was a prison for righteous people, but both were under. They were separated by a chasm. Jesus talks about this. This paradise was also called Abraham's bosom. He talks about this in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. So what then happens here? Jesus is coming from Hades. because they had to overcome death and take the keys of death and Hades away from the devil. So he has overcome the devil, overcome death, taken the keys of Hades, and he shifts with him paradise or Abraham's bosom, taking it from under and taking it now to heaven, because it says in the book of Ephesians, him that descended also ascended. And when he ascended together with the saints. That's why in other accounts of the gospel, you hear that when he resurrected, tombs opened. Saints of old were seen walking in Jerusalem. Why? They were being transferred. Their souls were being transferred to heaven. So Jesus was not supposed to pass through seeing Mary. But because Mary does not go anywhere, she's weeping for him, she's seeking him, she's sincere, Jesus then says, don't touch me. You see, that shows you he wasn't yet ready to visit her, because he had first to report to the Father, present his blood on the altar in heaven, in the temple in heaven. When you study the book of Revelation, also written by John, I have the teaching on my podcast, you can go through it. You see that there is a temple and a tabernacle in heaven, and there's an altar there in heaven before the throne of God, and he had to go and present his blood, the blood of sacrifice, for the forgiveness of the sins of humankind. So he says to Mary, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to the Father, don't yet, but go and tell your fellow disciples that I am going to my Father. Who is your Father? My God, who is your God? And tell them that I will come and I will reveal myself to them. So when Mary hears this, she's excited. She's happy. And she takes off and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had, and the things that he had spoken. So now it's important here to see that you wouldn't know whether the disciples believed there or not. Some didn't, because if you look at the men of traveling to Emmaus in the account of Luke, they were saying some women say that they saw him, you see, but they were talking of it like women stories, you know, women, they see things. They didn't believe that Mary had actually had a vision and an encounter with Jesus. And it is Mary then who goes to tell the disciples. She becomes the bearer of good news, the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to see him alive. What a blessing. A woman that seeks God, a woman that waits upon God until Jesus reveals himself to her. Now, from verse 19 to 30, we see then Jesus appearing now to the rest of the disciples, all the other disciples, and also lastly, to Thomas. Now, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples assembled in the fear of the Jews, so they were afraid. Jesus stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. Here's Jesus now. He has returned from the Father. He has been crowned. He has been glorified, honored by the Father, given a name above every other name. He comes and he appears. Now he has a body that is not a natural body, but a glorified body that can go through walls, that is not limited. And he says to them, peace be unto you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. So here we see, as Jesus arrives, he commissions the disciples. He says, as I was sent by the Father to this world, now I also commission you and send you. And after that commissioning, he breathes the Holy Spirit, because now this is the breath. Now you must watch, this breath of the Holy Spirit is different from what they are going to receive in about 10 days or so time, in the time of Pentecost, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, which you see in the book of Acts chapter 1. He says, remain in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Here it's almost the breath of the Holy Spirit to bring them to new life or new birth, because they had not yet experienced it since Christ had not died and resurrected. So he breathes upon them and he breathes new life and new breath into them, because for them to do the assignment, they had to do it as children of God. Hallelujah. So he says to them in verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they will be retained. So Thomas now was not among these other disciples, the rest of the disciples. I don't know where he was and what he was up to and what he was doing there. So when he then arrives, he's then told by the other disciples, hey, man, where were you? Do you know that Jesus is alive? We saw him. And Thomas says, no. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, this is the same day, the first day of the week, where Jesus has resurrected. He has encountered Mary in the morning, because she went there early in the morning. It is now evening. Jesus has finished his work in heaven, where he had ascended and come back, moving at a speed faster than light. When he comes there, James is not there, and he says, so this is 3 days after he had died. So James knew that he had been hit by nails. He had a piercing on the side. He says, unless I can touch that and put my fingers, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples within, Thomas with them. This time, Thomas is there. Jesus appears again in their midst while the doors are shut, and he says, peace unto you. Now, I know there are people who have had encounters and visions of Jesus. I wouldn't dispute that, as long as it is aligned with the word of God, because Christ is alive and he appeared to his disciples. As he appeared to his disciples here, he can also appear to you. He can appear to another person. He appeared to Paul later. So he is still alive. He appears. He appears here and he says unto them, peace be unto you. Then he said unto to Thomas, reach out, put your finger, behold my hands. Reach out your hand here, thrust to my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Hallelujah. What an instruction. Don't be faithless, but believe. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And you see here that Jesus appears mostly because of James, who had not believed. Thank God for grace. He had not believed, and he had said the words, unless I put my finger. So when Jesus arrived, he knew his state of mind and says, bring your hand, put your fingers here, touch this side. Do not be faithless. Bazalwane, may we not be faithless, lacking faith, but may we be those that are believing. We are called believers. We have to believe. And in verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord, my God. Then Jesus says in verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Hallelujah. That's our key scripture. We'll come back to it. Then verse 30 is, John concludes this chapter. He says, there are many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And I want you to see that John clearly states he didn't write every miracle, he didn't write every sign or everything. He chose what he felt was necessary. That's why you see some miracles, a number of them that are recorded in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, you don't find them in the Gospel of John. And what does he say? Verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and in believing you might have life through his name. Hallelujah. He says, I have written that which is necessary, that when you read it, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But you see, the thrust of the Gospel of John is to show the divinity, that Jesus was the Son of God. And in believing it, you may have eternal life through his name. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, our key revelation is in that verse there. John 20 and verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, now hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Wow. Thomas, because you have seen. Jesus is saying, you don't walk by what you see in the natural. You should walk by faith. The moment you were told by the other disciples, when they preached to you and said, we have seen the Lord, he said this to us, you should have believed. Because there the Bible is saying, blessed are they that have not seen but have believed. Hallelujah. There is a blessing, Muzalwan, because you have not seen Jesus face to face. You have not seen him manifest, but you heard the word. The gospel was preached and you believed. That is blessed. That's the blessing of the Lord. It is more blessed. We are blessed. Hey, these early disciples had the privilege of walking with him in the flesh and seeing him. And when he resurrected, they see him. But then Jesus makes the statement that blessed are those that believe without seeing. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith, not seen. When people say, where is your God? Have you seen him? Faith does not work with what we have seen. It works with the word of God that we have believed, which is true and which manifests and confirms itself when it is fulfilled. Hallelujah. So there is a blessing in believing. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be faithless. Be believing. Blessed are you when you believe without seeing. That is the blessing that is upon us. Now we want to conclude with five lessons that we draw from this chapter. Five lessons, and I believe that there will be a blessing unto you. Let us flow together as we conclude. Number one, learn to seek the Lord early and persistently. Learn to seek the Lord early and persistently. We see this from Mary Magdalene. The Bible says, while it was still dark, all the other disciples were sleeping. She was already at the tomb. Early, early, she was there. Bazalwan, let us be also like David, who says, early will I seek thee. Early in the morning, before you do anything else, may you be one that seeks the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And seek him persistently. Mary did not stop. She went and called the disciples and said, the body is not there. Peter and John left. She remained there. She was weeping. She was saying, where is my Lord? She saw the angels until Jesus had to manifest on his way to the Father, because she was persistent in seeking God. May you be persistent in prayer, persistent in seeking God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number two, revelation is needed to understand the scriptures. Oh yes, the disciples, the Pharisees themselves had scriptures. They read the script but did not understand them. They could not understand the Messiah and what would happen to them. That's why they rejected Jesus. The disciples had the scriptures taught by Jesus, but they lacked revelation. If you have the scriptures alone, you are in trouble. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of revelation. That's why it's important to pray for the Spirit of revelation. Even as you are listening to this exposition, pray that the Spirit of God may reveal to you his word and his truth, because it is the word that is revealed to you that transforms your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number three, don't be content with religion without Jesus. When Mary got to the tomb, there were linen clothes that Jesus had when he was buried. She could have just been happy to say, I found the clothes, and just said, I'm taking this home. No, she wanted Christ himself. Christianity is based on Jesus. Without Christ, there is no Christianity. You remove Christ from Christianity, it's a dead religion. So let's not be content with religion. Let's not be content with religious practices and rituals. Mary says, I want Jesus. Even after the angels appeared, you would have thought, oh, she'll say, I've seen angels, so now I'm good. No, she didn't care for angels. She wanted Jesus. Don't be satisfied with anything else except Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the substance of everything. Colossians says so. Chapter 2, he is the substance of everything. The reality of God is in Christ. Lesson number 4, Jesus has commissioned us to go and preach the gospel. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Mzalwane, we have an assignment. We have to fulfill that assignment before we exit earth. Jesus has sent us to go and bear fruit. He has sent us to preach the gospel, to witness about him to our family members, to our friends, to our community, to cities, to those that are far off. We have been commissioned. We have been sent forth. This is the Great Commission. We can't sit around and expect someone else to do it. Let each one of us take responsibility to share the gospel. Hallelujah. Lastly, following Jesus requires faith. It requires faith. Jesus says, don't you be faithless, but believing. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. Blessed are those. So following Jesus is a walk of faith. That's why the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, that is how we live. That is how we walk. That's the walk of a believer. That's the walk of a Christian. It is a walk of faith. Oh, hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you stir up the zeal, the spirit of prayer and seeking you, O God, early, every day, persistently, Father. I pray that, God, we may have a revelation of your word. As we read it, may you give us understanding. May you reveal it unto us so that we may know the truth and we may be transformed. I pray, Father, that we may not settle for religion. We may not settle for substitutes, but God, that we may desire and fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. I pray that you empower us, O God, and Father, that we go forth and preach the gospel. Reach out and witness to many people that they may know and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Apostle John wrote and said, this which was written is that someone may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Father, that we may share the gospel, our testimonies, that someone may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And in believing, they may receive eternal life. Oh God, that we walk this journey with faith, that God, we may live by faith, that our faith may increase. You say, when I come back, will I find faith on earth? Father, may we keep the faith. Give us the grace to keep the faith unto the end, that we may complete our assignment, that we may complete our course. And Father, keep the faith to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. What a blessing. One more to go. This far the Lord has taken us, Ebenezer. Don't miss lesson 22. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.